All right, so welcome everybody to another episode of the Lest We Forget podcast, historical podcast by Tenement Yard Media. All right, so before we even move forward to talk about this episode, just a bit of house cleaning issues. Not house cleaning, announcement. So firstly, I'm doing first, I want to talk about it. For persons, I just want to say this. All right. For persons who say they want to have, like, a written version of the episodes because they have issues hearing or them don't listen to podcasts, or you don't have to email us. It's on the website. It's on the website, tenementyardmedia@gmail.com. Or if you type in Tenement Yard Media, the first thing will pop up, click it, to our website. All of the episodes of Lest We Forget are transcribed. Or if they're not transcribed, they're in the process of transcribing. So give us time to put it up. Right? That's one. Two. For those who ask us for book recommendations and documentaries and lists, and it's on the website. They're on the website as well. So that is there. There's a page for each episode of the Lest We Forget podcast. You guys can go ahead and click that. It's there. It's there. And it's also, if you listen to the podcast itself, there's a link in the podcast description which takes you directly there. Like, you're not to email me or DM me or at me. I promise you, information is there. And for those who tell us the episode is too long and we are making shorter versions of the episodes. Right? Visual explainers of the episodes. And they're usually 2 to 5 minutes. They're on our YouTube channel at Tenement Yard Media. So by the time you hear this, you're probably gonna have 2 or 3 or maybe 1. It depends on when this episode drops. But yeah, all of that is gonna be up there, and it's gonna be selected episodes because we're not making money. This is just a group of people I link up after work and I do stuff. So selected episodes that we have resources to draw from to actually create a visual episode, a visual shorter episode of the podcast itself. You understand? So yeah, so that will be up there. So just enough email me, enough send me a DM, enough at me. We have heard the complaints over the years, and we have tried to meet people in the middle. So yes, just want to clear that up. Just want to clear that up. Alright? Cool. Alright. So, on this episode, we're going to talk about Haiti. Right? And a decision was made, you know, that every year, at the beginning of every year, we start off 4 episodes. With just a historical look at Haiti. Something that happened to Haiti. And it makes sense. Just given, you know, history and the signs of the times, start off with Haiti. So, on this episode, right, we're going to talk about how a virus outbreak in DR, not Haiti, this happened in DR, you understand, affected Haiti, right? And it had far-reaching consequences for the country, issues that they're still facing today. So, don't know, get up on yourself, get up on your body, another episode start. Alright, so this episode is about pigs, specifically the Haitian Creole pigs. And in writing this episode, I really couldn't track down where the pigs them come from. You understand? We get like 2 different sources. So we're just going to work with the 2 of them. You understand? So one group of academics stated that the pigs came from the Spanish. You understand, when they arrived in the 1500s, like, I didn't bring it to the country. And then another source said that these pigs are actually indigenous to Haiti. No, me not argue with them people, right? Nitty gritty of the story, the pigs them, they in Haiti. You understand, by the 1900s, the pigs, they are Haiti, and they were playing a major role in the economy of Haiti, specifically the rural population. So, no, these are pigs. You understand? So when it comes to the economy, you know, pork, food, people that eat the pigs. And that's one of the major roles that they play with, you know, the rural economy. But also, you know, currency is basically anything that you give value to. You understand? So, you know, yeah, the money, you know, papers and the flat coins, and in recent years we saw the rise of big rise and fall of Bitcoins. And you know, so these are just things that, you know, society have given values to. So in Haiti, these pigs were valuable. So people did not pay a school fee with them, mortgage with them, food with them. You understand? You need to pay a bill, just bring a pig, exchange, we move. You understand? This is rural population and how their economy work. But also, the pigs were just a great investment. You see me? So by the 1970s, you could purchase a pig for $10. And this is US $10, right? And by the time they become a full mature animal within, you know, 18 months, they could be sold for as much as $180. You get me? What I'm trying to say? So that markup, crazy. You understand? So a lot of families were invested in them. And because of that, the pig became this virtual savings account for many rural families, as, you know, they were just valuable assets. You see me? And as I said before, food, they might use as down payment for land. And listen, it did work. You understand? So one Haitian in 1985, this is what they have to say about how important these pigs were.
The peasant subsistence economy is the backbone of the nation, and the pigs were once the main component of the economy. With no banking systems available to him, the peasant relied on hog production as a bank account to meet his most pressing obligations: baptism, healthcare, schooling, funerals, religious ceremonies, and protection against urban-based loan sharks who would grab his land at the first opportunity.
So that's clear that an Asian, that's Ramon, a good friend of the yard, he's going to do the voiceover for this, all the voiceovers for this episode, actually. So Ramon, big up yourself, forever in your favor. Yeah, we never really have an Asian pancake for the voiceover. So sometimes if I just do what I have to do, you understand? Cool vibes, right? But as you just heard, you understand, these pigs were very important, you understand? Somewhat of a necessity to the peasant class. You get me? I try to say, you understand? Pick them, I ride with them, them I ride with the pigs. You understand? But in 1979, the Dominican Republic had a sudden outbreak of African swine fever in their pig population. You get me? Now, if you ever pass through airport and you see them have a look at things and say, pigs don't fly, don't bring pork in a whatsoever country you pass through, similar disease. You get me? I try to say, cool. But then the disease spread to Haiti, where a few pigs in the northern Artibonite Valley, yeah, were found to be infected. Now, the key word more and people stay with you, so is a few. A few. Yeah, not a few. And some animal experts theorize that the reason why not a large population of Haiti pigs died was because they were more resistant to the disease. You get me? I try to say, like, that. Them are new to this. You understand? Them know our life. Them know trouble life. You understand? The disease now go in not gonna click them all like that. You get me? It's like you have that one friend, you know, when like a flu a go around and stuff like that, and them stand firm and stand up. You understand? It now not them now. Same thing. You understand? The pigs did not stand strong. You understand? But that not how the US see it. So United States, they must see what going in a DR and Haiti, and them just start paying direct attention to Haiti pigs. And their agricultural experts believe that the African swine fever would threaten their pig population. You understand? And this became national news when Bob Berglund, he was the then US Secretary of Agriculture, he called the African swine fever in Haiti an emergency situation that threatening the US and neighboring countries' pig population. People wanting to understand, say, a DR, the swine flu there. Haiti had a few pigs died, and Haiti get involved in all of this. Either way. And the US being US decides that they must go deal with the situation. You understand? So them call upon Canada, them call upon Mexico, and them decide, say, all three of them decide, say, yo, they're going to deal with the problem. You understand? This problem that they see, they're going to deal with it. Vibes. Now, what came out of this partnership between the three countries was Pepper Dep. I'm not gonna do the French translation for that. No. So what it translated is program to eradicate African swine fever and to develop pig raising. That's program to eradicate African swine fever and to develop pig raising. And what it was basically was a US 23 million extermination and restocking programs of pigs in Haiti. So basically, they're gonna kill the pig them and then restart the pig them. No. Even though I said it was just a few pigs that were infected in a very specific part of Haiti, right? Which is very specific part of Haiti. Between 1981 to 1983, 1.3 million of Haiti's Creole pigs were killed. 1.3 million of their pigs were killed. And by the end of June 1983, one U.S. official estimated that only 40 pigs were left in Haiti. 40. No, that was just the extermination stage of the program. Now we're going to talk about the restocking stage. Alright, so now this is happening in the early 80s. And this is the Duvalier era. We're still in the Duvalier era, right? And for persons who are not aware about the Duvalier era, a grasp of Haiti, of Haitian history like that, the Duvalier era lasted from 1957 to 1987, basically. And what it was it started out with Francois Duvalier, Papa Doc, who served as Haitian president from 1957 to 1971, which was then followed by his son, Baby Doc, Jean-Claude Duvalier, whose tenure lasted from 1971 to 1986. Some say around 1987, it cannot really phase out, you get me? And that was the era of the Duvalier. I don't believe I will ever write an episode unless you forget podcast about the Duvalier era. It's quite a lot. It's a lot, and it was a dark time. A very, very dark time. We have done dark episodes, but even for us, it's a lot. But, and I've listened to other podcasts where people have done it better than us. I've read books that people would have done it way better than I could ever write it. So, you know, that local podcast PhD, we'll have, you know, recommendations and book. Yeah, we're gonna drop it so we can get a local recommendations to listen to. We probably can't. Me not so confident for do the Duvalier era justice in the way it's supposed to do. So I'm going to drop a look a few recommendations for persons who want to know more about that era. But what's important about that era to this story was that, yeah, it was dark and it was arguably the most corrupt era of modern Haiti history. Like, you can't talk about Haiti without talking about the Duvalier era. Not that their problem started with the Duvalier era. It was a lot. A lot happened. And the corruption was just crazy. And that corrupted era, because when they restock pigs, the corruption is going to flow over in the restocking programs. And what you had was a whole lot of mismanagement that occurred in the restocking of the pigs. So what you'd have is this. Funds to compensate the owners of the slaughtered pigs never found their way to the owners, you understand? And documentation of the program shows that a large portion of the funds found its way into the pockets of persons administering the program. This is the Caribbean. You get me? As a Jamaican, we know this. You understand? We know how things work. You see? Haiti, similar problems. But the major issue with the restocking programs was the replacement of the pigs itself. The pigs were a problem. And this restocking program of bringing in the pigs, these new pigs, was overseen by USAID and the Organization of American States, OAS. And these new pigs were bought from US farmers, specifically from the state of Iowa. Now, Iowa is middle of the US. Coal. You get me what I have to say? And you gotta take them pigs here, we're used to them look of snow and them slate, you understand? I drop from the sky and I bring them to tropical weather over Haiti. The mats is so way off. They were just not suited for Haiti's climate at all. And so you had many of them fell ill and they required animal specialists, vet for come in and deal with that. And them, but man, the rural population not used to them things here. You get me? Like, where you go? with vet, no, vet animal specialist, no. Not to be a stereotype, but just think about it. Think about it. You get me? I try to say it off. And furthermore, these imported pigs, they had a very expensive, very specific diet, which it was wheat-based, vitamin-enriched feed, right? And this feed was only sold by the government. And depending upon the deer, the price fluctuated. You get me? I try to say so. Some days, you understand? So you go Monday, the feed at 120. You go Thursday, I'm going to tell you, say, at 250. And I saw the price I go up, And it had this range because over time, the price of feed was increasing and decreasing due to government corruption to line the pockets of persons who were supposed to be overseeing the program. You understand? So all of that are gone. And as again, the peasant population are used to this, you understand? Because again, them ride for the pigs ride for them, you understand? So the pigs, the Creole pigs were being fed on food scraps. You get me? I try to say, like, you know, you have cook a little soup, you understand? You have yam peelings, you have little sweet potato skin, you know, you have little scraps and stuff. You get a pig them, you understand? Like, it was simple, easy, breezy. Like, it never required hard work for maintaining the Creole pigs. But then yeah, come in with all of this and it just never work. And as you know, as anybody with common sense can guess, the restocking program failed. The entire pepper day program just failed because apart from just killing practically all of Haiti's Creole pigs, the restocking program, most of the pigs died. Most of the pigs died, and whenever they died, them struggle, you know, forget, grow big and fat and just never made a sense in the long run, you understand? And the entire pepper day program, if you look at the economic cost of it, it's estimated that US $12 to $15 million is what it cost the rural population. US dollars, $12 to $15 million US dollars. And one Asian economist stated that the loss was incalculable and the worst calamity to ever befall the peasant class in Haiti. And due to the no eradication of Creole pigs, rural Asians were forced to turn to loan sharks and high interest creditors to cover necessities, which was usually covered by pig sales. You understand? So I'm going to tell you the beginning where all the pigs did important and how the pigs were seen as currency. You could have do, you know, local trading and da-da-da. Can't do that no more. You have to find another way to make money. And the situation got so bad that by 1984, Haiti's education sector was being impacted. As one report in 1988 states.
School opening that October, the first after Pepperdep's final eradication of the nation's pigs, revealed that registration had plunged as much as 40 to 50%. Street vendors of cheap notebooks and pencils went hungry. The Lebanese and Syrian dry goods merchants had unsold stockpiles of checkered cotton for traditional Haitian school uniforms. The Champs Printing Company's orders for Creole and French textbooks plummeted. All over Haiti, children stayed at home, understanding something had happened to them and that times were suddenly much harder.
But at its essence, this is just a short-term consequences. It's the long-term consequences. That in itself is a whole other issue. You understand? Whole other issue. Alright, so for one, remember them eradicate the Creole pigs, you know. So for a good while, this completely changed Haiti's diet moving forward. You understand? So diet change. You understand? And since many Haitian peasants lost a source of income, many turned to charcoal production, which increased deforestation in some rural areas. You understand? And deforestation, environmental consequences, I'm not going at that. Just is a lot happen after. That's a slippery slope of events. You get me? I try to say, pun intended. Cool? And then in the middle of all of this that's going on and this new adjustment that the peasant class have to deal with, Haiti and the rest of the Caribbean, to be honest, had a recession in the mid-1980s. And what you have is that between 1975 to 1985, the average price of food more than doubled in Haiti. And now with no pigs to sustain Haiti's communities, it led to food shortage and increased food insecurity in many Haitian communities. Coincidentally, the first protest against the baby duck regime was over food. was a food protest. And this occurred in 1984, where the food protest moved from just a protest to a food riot. You understand? So by 1986, when they went for string up Duvalier, he must flee the country. You understand? I saw them get rid of them. That's how basically the Duvalier era ended in Haiti. You understand? But when you look at it from a policy position, from an economic position, because I just didn't want to end the episode here. Oh, the pigs, da-da-da-da. No, I'm going to talk about a more lasting effects. And if you look at Haiti today. So the lasting legacy of the eradication of Haiti's pigs were the increase in food imports in Haiti, specifically food from the U.S. You understand? Because in a crisis, somebody will benefit. Always. Understand? So when Duvalier fled the country needed money to sustain its population as well as fill the gap of the years of corruption under the Duvalier regime. So they turned to the IMF, who loaned Haiti U.S. $24.6 million. However, a stipulation of this loan was that Haiti was required to reduce tariff protection for its rice and other agricultural produce. So for the non-econ people, them, you understand tariff situation, what this means is that these economic policy protection that was supposed to protect Haiti from outside imports got removed, and this opened Haiti markets to outside competition. So within 2 years, the effects of this was felt, and Haitian rice farmers suffered as they couldn't keep up with cheaper subsidized rice from the U.S. Bill Quigley, in an article for Partners in Health, speak of an Haitian priest and human rights activist named Gerard Jean Just, who stated the following.
In the 1980s, imported rice poured into Haiti below the cost of water farmers could produce it. Farmers lost their businesses. People from the countryside started losing their jobs and moving to the cities. After a few years of cheap imported rice, the local production went way down.
And so by the mid-1990s, Haiti was forced by international powers to further open up its market even more. Like, they'd open, and then say, no, extend it a little bit more. You see? And what you had was food imports increased from US 80 million per year during the mid-1980s to more than 350 million by 2007. By 2008, Haiti was the third largest importer of rice from the US. And the same situation happened to Haiti's sugarcane industry. You understand? This is sugarcane. Sugarcane and Haiti. Haiti, which was once the world's largest exporter of sugar, they had these large imports of sugar from the US and DR. You understand? When those tariffs were removed. And when that occurred, it forced local farmers out of the market, which further created an employment issue in the country. You understand? So the effects just continue and continue. And by 2010, food imports accounted for 51% of Haiti's food consumption. The latest data I could find was in 2022, when that percentage was increased to 60%. Right? And to sum up all of this, in 1985, Bernard Diderik wrote a piece in the Caribbean Review titled Swine Fever Ironies, The Slaughter of Haiti's Black Pig. And in it, this is what he said, because I feel like this, what he said here, sum it up best of what this entire situation resulted in.
The impact of being without pigs, a whole way of life has been destroyed in this survival economy.
And, you know, he wrote this in 85, you understand, a few months after the Pepper Dip program. Occurred, and you look at 40 years later after the program, you look at Haiti now, you can clearly see how the slaughter of their pigs, they're still really and truly dealing with that situation still to this day.
And with that, we call an end to today's episode. To view the sources used in this episode and or recommendations to learn more about the topic, visit our website at tenementyardmedia.com. A transcript of this episode will be available 5 days after it has been posted to podcast outlets. And remember, this is a conversation we really want to hear from you. Follow our social media pages at tenementyard_ on both Instagram and Twitter to view additional postings on this episode and updates on other content created by Tenement Yard Media. We're open to conversation about this and other episodes, and really, all happenings around Caribbean history and culture. Just a quick note before we leave, we're over on Patreon at patreon.com/tenementyardmedia if you would like to support the show with a monthly donation of as little as $1. You can also make a donation of your choice at tenementyardmedia.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Gabrielle, and this has been Lest We Forget, a historical podcast from Tenement Yard Media. Bois good!